Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. All right, guys, this is now talking about the second Solid Man competency. And so if you remember, the competencies are things to get good at, to become competent at. First one we talked about, obviously, was the idea of checking in and observing and paying attention to yourself. The second Solid Man competency to get good at, or to kind of make just a natural part of your life, is questioning the narrative. All right, so the narrative is essentially the story that I'm telling myself. It's a story or a description of what's going on outside of me, or who I am as a person. And so the story, the narrative that's been told, and is kind of an interesting place that we're in our culture, because it's like, I've heard it called the fourth generation warfare thing, where it used to be, it was a battle of land and, you know, the fronts that were, you know, one side was on this part and it was all land bound or air. And so there's fighting for moving the scrimmage line, so to speak. And so that's that kind of generates that kind of warfare. But the fourth generation warfare is more the battle of hearts and minds, or the battle of the narrative, the story that's being told. And it's actually pretty powerful, because it's said that the one who controls the narrative has the power. And so whoever's telling the story, or whoever has the power to tell the story, actually has the power or authority. And if you remember the word authority, actually the first part of it is the word author. So the one who can tell the story, the author, has authority, has the power. And so we live in this world where everybody is seeking to have power. And usually when they have power, it's usually power over. And so if you really watch what's going on in our world, where everybody's telling a story, there's the news saying this, there's conspiracy theories saying that, you know, and it's just like everybody is out there trying to capture, trying to tell a story about the world and about you. And so we live in this world. It's like information overload. There's just too much story, too many narratives out there. And so this is what the whole thing is. Question the narratives. Question what's been told about you. Question what's been told about the world. Question the stories about the worldview, what everything is. It's just really crazy. You start to question it, and that's how you find out what truth is for you, in an internal process of really finding out what is true and what's the true narrative that I want to follow for myself. And the only way you're ever going to find that is by questioning the narrative. So in this world of information, we get all kinds of narratives. Probably the most specific one for men anymore is men are toxic. The whole idea of toxic masculinity, that's a story, that's a narrative. There's the women are wonderful and men are toxic concept. And it's kind of a narrative that's been told. And neither of them are absolutely true. Some men are horrible individuals. Some women are horrible individuals. But men are not toxic. Women are not toxic. But women are not perfectly wonderful. They also have their problems as well. But that's the story that's being told in our culture. Other things that are really crazy, you know, we just came off the 2020 election, and the whole thing of so many people thought Trump was literally Hitler. And it's so funny how the word literal is now figurative, because he's not literally Hitler unless he actually somehow Hitler, like Senator Palpatine or whatever, figured out a way to clone himself and became Donald Trump, which that would be literally Hitler. But he's not literally Hitler. He may do some things that people think that are kind of bombacious or whatever. That's not even a word. Bombastic. That's what I'm talking about. How he's got bad character, and some people might think that, but the narrative is that he's Hitler, or he's really an overlord or whatever. And whether you believe that or not, you question the narrative. The narrative about Biden being a pedophile. I mean, those stories are out there. Here he is, creepy Joe, sniffing little girls' hair and grabbing them and all this stuff. And it's like, maybe he's creepy, but he's not a pedophile. But what's the truth? Question the narrative. Everything you're told, all these conspiracy theories all have they have a line of truth in them, but just to get your attention and make it provocative. But it usually doesn't add up or match reality. And so the main question here is not necessarily about what's going on out there. I do want you to question all that and not let it move you so much. But the big question here is, who is telling your story? And so questioning the narrative given about you, about the world, by your parents, the church, or the culture, this is essential, because you're not going to have a solid sense of self if you don't question the narrative and find out the true narrative. Now, we've been told incredible things from our parents about who we are, and we need to challenge that. We need to challenge some of the things that have been told to us about the church. Unfortunately, I would hope that the church would be able to teach really, really significant things, and they do. But some of the stories they tell are just not right about what a man is, or about what my who I am, about my my ability to be, acceptance. That's what it would be. It's really important just to question that. Is what I'm being told true? Is it right? And so that's a really important thing. So as you approach this, the whole idea of questioning the narrative, the thing that makes it to where it's not cynicism is if you actually approach it with curiosity and humility. Is this true? Questioning the narrative, the two really important attitudes, curiosity and humility, actually helps you to humbly ask questions, to be able to ask the questions in a way where I don't have the answers, but I want to find out what the truth is. And so questioning everything is really, really important. And what we're doing in that is we're really finding wisdom and discernment. And we want to find both those, wisdom and discernment. Discernment is what we really want to find. The whole thing of asking what is true of anything that you're told. Now, one person, and she's done a great job just laying out a really simple pattern of asking. She calls it inquiry or the work. Her name is Byron Katie. She's this old lady that has gray hair, and she asks these questions, and it's really important. The first question is it true? And just asking, is it true? Whatever it is, whatever the feeling inside of me, the experience I have, my perception, what I'm being told, is it true? And being able to ask that. And then the second question she asks, saying, is it absolutely true? Which kind of takes it a little further in. Is it really absolutely true? And so sitting with those questions and finding out what comes to you internally is really, really important. And then the next two questions are really powerful as well. And it's the question is what would life like? What would life be like when I believe that thought, when I believe that? And so let's talk about the thing, toxic masculinity. Let's say the statement is men are toxic. And so what would life be like if you believed that was true? And if I believe that men are toxic, I would be afraid of hurting people. I would fly under the radar. I would believe the worst of myself. I would feel shame. I'd feel like I'm horrible. Or I would give in to it and pretty much just to hell with it. I'm going to be a toxic man and just go out there and ruin people's lives or screw everything out there that has a skirt or whatever the heck it is. I would just get out there and do everything and just, who cares? I'm going to be toxic, so I might as well embrace it. And so that's what my life would be like if I believed it. So next question, what would my life be like if I did not believe it? And if I don't believe that toxic men are toxic, so I believe that men are non-toxic, really good. I believe men are good. Men are created to be a force for good. So what would your life be like with that? I would trust myself. I would believe in myself. I would know that I'm designed to create good on the planet. I would begin to build things and create things and love things. And so what that does for us when you do that, you're able to see, all right, which one is true? The first one ends up in just a freaking disaster. The second one ends up with a life that is really good and thriving and pretty brilliant. So the question is, what do I think is true? And this is a way to really find out what the truth is. And so that really helps. And so you know that men are not toxic because it comes out in a really, really positive, amazing way of life. So that's just one way that, to get wisdom and discernment. And I really like what she has to offer. So every single day we're told things and we need to question those things. Another thing we have to do is question our own motives, our fears or desires, especially when we're starting out in the process of becoming more internally referenced. Just start paying attention because we're still wrestling with external reference or we're worried about what we're afraid of. And some of our desires aren't exactly what we really want. For instance, I might want to look at porn. I want to look at porn. That's a desire. But is it what I really want? Is that really what I want? That's questioning the narrative. And so it's really important to be able to ask the questions, you know, what is driving me right now? Or what is behind why I want to do this? So questioning your own motives, fears, and desires is part of questioning the narrative. So the next thing, it's really kind of important. This is kind of a big thing. It's called cognitive distortions. And this is really given by a guy named Dr. David Burns. He has a book called Feeling Good. It's this little book, but it's really thick. But this is just a couple things that he talks about in there that's really good. It's called cognitive distortions. And these are things, obviously, it's cognitive, things I think, distortions that are distorted. They're not way, they really don't help us to think clearly. And so this is a way to really begin to question how I think sometimes or how my brain works. And if you remember in lesson four, it talks about how the mind cannot be the king. It's a tyrannical king. It's all of the mind is a noticer and an interpreter. And so when we let the mind be king, it does all these crazy distorted thinking things. So the first one here, and I'll just kind of quickly move through these, but if you want it, get a hold of me and I'll send you a list of these and you can have it. So the first one is all or nothing thinking. And this is seeing things in black and white categories. And so it's kind of if my performance falls short of perfect, then I'm a total failure. And so a lot of times we get into all or nothing thinking. If it's not perfect, it's horrible. The next one is overgeneralization, where you see one single negative event as a never-ending pattern of defeat. I always do this. My overgeneralization really comes around technology. I always fail at technology, but I don't. I'm actually recording this and actually going to get it on online, and it's going to work really well. So it's not true. And so it's, you know, it's not my never-ending defeat with technology. I actually do okay, but every once in a while I suck at it. The third one is called a mental filter. And this is you pick out a single negative detail and dwell on that exclusively so your vision of all reality becomes darkened. Like a drop of ink that discovers the entire beaker of water. Or if you had a birthmark and that birthmark, a little, or a mole or something like that, that thing, or you know what your little, what is it when you have something that is a flaw, you know what your flaw is, and that would be the thing you filter out or you think of. That's the only thing you think of, and so it ruins. It's kind of the bad apple ruining the whole barrel type of thing. The fourth one is disqualifying the positive, and you reject positive experiences by insisting they don't count. for some reason or another. And this way you can maintain a negative belief that's contradicted by your everyday experiences. So if somebody says, good job, you know, no big deal, you disqualify it. The fifth one is jumping to conclusions, and you make a negative interpretation, even though there's no definite facts to convincingly support your conclusion that it's so negative. It's jumping to the negative conclusion. And the two categories under this, first one is mind reading, where you arbitrarily conclude that someone is reacting negatively to you, and so you don't bother to ask them a question or whatever. You just assume. And you remember what happens when you assume. So this is mind reading. I assume what they're thinking about me, and I assume that it's negative. So that's jumping to the conclusion of what they're thinking. Fortune telling is another one, like mind reading, where you anticipate that things will turn out badly, and you're convinced that your prediction is an already established fact. I'm going to suck. I'm going to screw up the speech. So that's me jumping to conclusions and fortune or telling the future because I expect things negative. This is my brain doing these crazy tricks. The sixth one is magnification, or it's called catastrophizing. Or the opposite is minimizing. And so either I make it too big or I make it too little. And it's just exaggerating the importance of things. Whether it's you goofed up or someone else's achievement. And so then you shrink things till they appear tiny. They also call this the binocular trick. You know how you'd look in a binocular, it becomes bigger, or you turn it around, it becomes so small. And so it's minimized. And this is what we do. We make things look bigger than they are or smaller than they are. And that's our brain playing tricks on us again. The seventh one is emotional reasoning. And this is you're assuming that your negative emotions necessarily reflect the way things really are. If I feel it, it must be true. And so making your emotions become truth. And this is back to the thing that I'm talking about, questioning the reality, questioning the narrative or the story that I'm telling about my feelings. The next one is should statements. You know, you motivate yourself with should or shouldn't, as if you would be whipped and punished before you could be expected to do anything. And so you know these whole things we've talked about, don't should on yourself. Or if any statement starts with should, it's probably externally referenced. And so being able to eliminate should statements are really, really important. Then there's labeling and mislabeling. And this is a really overgeneralization taken to another level. And it's instead of describing your error, you attach a negative label to yourself. Let's say I failed at something. I am a failure or I am a loser. So I'm labeling myself as a loser or a failure, that type of thing. And so we label things horribly. And mislabeling involves describing an event with language that's highly colored, you know, good old cuss words, or emotionally loaded. It's kind of, you know, and so putting different labels on things, obviously mislabeling as well. And when I label something, question the narrative, question the story that I'm telling. Am I a loser? No. And that goes back to the whole thing. What's my life like if I believe I'm a loser? What's my life like if I don't believe I'm a loser? Totally different. It's like night and day. The tenth thing is something I think we all do, and that's personalization. You see yourself as a cause of some negative event in which you are not responsible for. Often this comes with like our wife's moods or something like that. And so if she's in a bad mood, immediately personalization says, what did I do wrong? That's your first thought. What did I do wrong? She's in a bad mood, therefore it must have been me did something wrong. Rather than maybe she had a bad conversation with her sister, or she stubbed her toe or broke a nail. Who knows what it is that gave her that bad mood. But what our story, the narrative is, I did something wrong. Rather than just saying she's in a bad mood, I wonder what's up. And that's a really important part of this whole thing. So these are 10 cognitive distortions that help us to be able to rethink what is going on, what's the truth, and really helping us to question the narrative. And these are ways that we let our mind go in really distorted fashion. So it's an important thing. Finally, just thinking about how challenging the narratives of, I call it the Matrix, you know, the story about Neo, you know, we find ourselves in and he actually got to a spot where he challenged the story. What's the story that's being told? The story that he was in was he had this world where I think he was an insurance salesman or something like that. But the true story was he was just a battery for this big machine. His body was in a little cocoon thing, draining his energy out of it to be able to run the machine. It's kind of far-fetched, but that was the Matrix. And he asked the question. The red pill helps him to ask the true question, what's really going on? And culture really does that to us in a lot of ways. The false narratives enslave us into being and doing a certain way that they need us to do or be. That's the whole thing of the one who has the power to share the narrative, the story about who you are. Like I said, religion does this as well, and your family of origin is really significant in doing this as well. So really question the things that I've learned, that I think about myself, and when those negative things come up, those distortions, really challenging that. And we get this also with our news, the fake news, and the opinions and facts, propaganda that's just thrown at us, especially in this season. It's just insane how much information we get, and being able to question the narrative of all those things, especially the way that we're told things. There's a concept out there called emotive conjugations, which is just the way that the story's been told. Like you could say a guy is very healthy with his boundaries, or he's firm with his decision-making. Or you could use a different language and say he's just pig-headed. And when you hear pig-headed, you think, oh my gosh, this is a horrible individual. But it's just he's either firm or pig-headed. And I think that's really important to be able just to think about what am I being told and how am I being told of some event. You know, recently, depending on when you're listening to this, but recently it was because it's the 28th today of January 2021. I think it was the 6th was the people at the rally for Trump actually went into the Capitol building. And you hear one side of the equation saying they stormed the Capitol, insurrection, all this stuff. And they're using language that captures your emotion. Whereas most of the videos, even though I did see some videos where people confronted the police and actually a couple people did die. So there was something that happened in there. But the thing about it is most people meandered into the Capitol. They didn't storm the Capitol. Probably 90% of the people just meandered in. There was the police let them in. They walked in. They kind of wandered around. They were just looking. It was crazy how it just happened. So did they meander or traipse into the Capitol, or did they storm the Capitol? It just depends on how you tell the story. What's true? That's what we want to do. So really, this whole thing is just questioning, what have I been told? What do I believe? What is true? And in order to be able to move forward as a solid man, you have got to make some really strong decisions about what is true. Who am I? What is this world really all about? And who is a really strong source of truth for me? How can I find out the truth? So that's what it is, guys, questioning the narrative. That's the second solid man competency. And so I hope this makes sense. If not, it'd be great to, I'd be glad to field any questions about this. But to be able to be a strong, solid individual, you must question the narrative. As always, stay solid, my friends.